I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dujanovic, special coverage of the top national story.
And once again today, we are on President Trump watch. Of course, we know that he put out on a social media platform, Truth Social, that he was expecting to be arrested today. I want to bring our listeners up to speed. He hasn't been arrested yet today. We don't even know if it's going to happen today, but in a moment we're going to go live to New York. We're going to get the latest from News Nation on where the grand jury is at.
I just saw a headline from MSNBC from the GOP committee chair who said, "We're all exhausted by the Trump drama." And I thought, how many Americans, how many Utahns right now feel that exact same way? Just exhausted by the Trump drama. Now, that being said, how much of that is President Trump's fault? And how much of it is the Democrats or the people that are going after, constantly going after President Trump?
I'm looking forward to having another conversation today with News Nation's national correspondent, Robert Sherman, who has been in New York. You still in New York waiting to see what the grand jury decides to do if they hand up an indictment?
Indeed, I am sitting outside the courthouse now, and we're all eagerly waiting to see what's going to happen here next.
Any sense? Does your spidey sense tell you anything?
You know, Spidey senses being a couple of sources that we have here tell us that we're not going to get an indictment to come down today. That's kind of what we're hearing. And, you know, to walk through the timeline of events, you would need the former president would need to be indicted first before he would be, quote unquote, arrested, before he would be brought in and processed and have to go through the arraignment. So if that's not happening today, then the arrest that he's been talking about is not going to happen either. And I think that it's really worth hammering home here that the only person who has said that Donald Trump is going to be arrested today was Donald Trump himself. Neither the district attorney's office nor his own legal counsel have been able to corroborate that claim. So I think that that's a really important piece of context here. In terms of, you know, where we go from here, it's up in the air. So, I mean, this is going to be in the hands of the grand jury, which still has to make a vote. And the way that this works is that there are 23 people on the grand jury. 12 of them have to vote in favor of the indictment in order for the former president to be indicted. We heard from his legal counsel a couple of days ago who said that if he had to be a betting man, he would say, yeah, probably the 45th president would be indicted. That's not the same as a conviction, however. I mean, there's still a long way to go throughout this whole process. But a fairly significant development happened yesterday in which we heard from one witness testimony, Robert Costello, a former attorney for Michael Cohen. And Michael Cohen is the key witness for the prosecution in this case. He was Mr. Trump's former fixer. And he testified saying Michael Cohen is not a credible source, claiming that he's on a revenge tour, claiming that Michael Cohen would say anything to get out of jail before because he went to jail. Now he has this vendetta, says that he's just not the ideal kind of witness to be pinning the hopes of this entire case upon. That's what he had to say, you know, to the grand jury. So we don't know if that's going to sway anybody. We don't know if that's going to have an impact. So, I mean, it's really just the wait-and-see game at this point.
News Nation's national correspondent Robert Sherman live in front of the courthouse there in New York. We're waiting to see what the grand jury does. And I want to back up to the Michael Cohen connection, and that is critical, and that for our listeners who haven't been keeping track of this chess game, Robert, Michael Cohen is the one who had been accused and eventually served time for a transfer of $130,000 to Stormy Daniels, the adult film star that has alleged that she had an affair or some sort of encounter that was of a intimate nature with the former president back in 2006. So we're talking, you know, 15, 16, 17, I can't even do the math, it's so long ago. And that's where Michael Cohen comes in as being a key, or as we said, star witness for the prosecution.
Yes, exactly. And that's why he's considered the star witness for the prosecutors, is because he was the person who was making this transaction happen. So he was the one who would have the intimate knowledge of how funds were used and things of that nature, what have you. So that's why he's the key witness here. And that's why you have folks in the former president's camp who are trying to discredit that witness, because so much of this case hinges upon what Michael Cohen has to say. So that's where a lot of this is coming from. I do think that an important point to note here as well is that, and I'm sure you know, you're talking about a lot of your listeners being exhausted by the whole Trump drama. There are a lot of Republicans, supporters of the president, also people who aren't even fans of the president, who are calling this politically motivated prosecution. The district attorney here in New York on the campaign trail boasted that he had sued former President Trump over 100 times. This was something that he was saying en route to his victory here. So people are looking at this and saying, you know, how much of this is, you know, actually trying to uphold law, how much of this is politically motivated. That's where you're seeing the mudslinging take place here as all of this starts to come to a head.
I spent about 15 minutes this morning on Truth Social going through the former president's posts, and it was all about this. There was so much around this. But one of the lines he said, protest, take our nation back. Are you seeing any protests where you're at?
Good question. So we have seen a couple of small demonstrations happening here in the city, a couple of people waving flags on bullhorns, holding signs outside of Trump Tower, outside of the courthouse here as well. Nothing that has gotten pretty significant, however. I mean, nothing, you know, close that would cause any concern. I will tell you that, of course, the New York Police Department is trying to get ahead on this as much as possible. They released a statement saying that they're going to have a heightened presence here of uniformed law enforcement officers in all five boroughs, but they don't see any credible threats to New York City at this point. And we know that when it comes to security, I mean, that's going to involve not just local law enforcement, but also law enforcement at the state and federal level as well. But so far, it's been pretty quiet and pretty tame. Yeah, there have been a couple of shouting matches that we've seen, but nothing really out of the ordinary for demonstrations in New York.
In New York, Robert Sherman, thank you for joining us, News Nation's national correspondent.
Shouting matches. Sounds like Congress. We'll keep an eye on that. Thanks so much to News Nation. We had two reports live from then. We had earlier in the 9 o'clock hour, we had Brian Enten from News Nation, who was camped outside Mar-a-Lago in Florida, and then Robert Sherman, who is camped outside the courthouse in New York. We've got the bases covered.
And Robert Sherman made a good point. He said the only person that has whispered the words arrest is the former president himself.
I think he did it in all caps, too.
Yeah, it was all caps,
exactly,
for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Straight ahead. I'm curious to know, do you have joint bank accounts? Do not answer that question yet, David. Hold the phone.
Then don't ask it.
Let's dive into this headline straight ahead and go right on the money. Are joint bank accounts good for your marriage?
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas,
in the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.